Now, as gunshots echo across the windswept, snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, Quaker popped wheat and Quaker popped rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns, present Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On, you husky!
Gold. Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Quaker popped wheat and Quaker popped rice, bringing you the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon.
There's no one that can make a better cereal than Quaker popped wheat. It's neat. And when you hear that shooting, you're durn tootin'. The Quaker makes the ones shot from guns.
Remember, too, the ones shot from guns give you added food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron. Yes, delicious Quaker popped wheat and Quaker popped rice are the nourishing treat you love to eat. And if you want to be like Sergeant Preston, strong enough to deal with outlaws, fortify yourself every morning with a good breakfast that includes a heaping bowl of swell-tasting Quaker popped wheat or Quaker popped rice with milk or cream and fruit. Start tomorrow, sure.
Oh! 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 Oh!
Lige Walker stopped the team at the top of the hill. Young Bucky, who was riding the sled, looked back at him.
What are we stopping for, Granddad?
Lige pointed across the valley to a camp at the foot of the far hills. Then he took a battered pair of binoculars out of his grub box and focused them.
Do you recognize the man?
Yes, Matt Johnson and Ben Pierce.
They've been prospecting up in Crystal Creek, haven't they?
That's right. Probably on their way back to Dawson to spend the winter. Strange those two should be traveling together.
I don't like Ben. He beats his dog.
Matt doesn't like him either. That's what I meant. We'll circle the valley.
You're not afraid of Matt and Ben, are you, Granddad?
Of course not, but if they see us, they're sure to mention it in town. We don't want anyone to know where we're heading.
We're fugitives, aren't we?
No, Bucky, we haven't broken any law. Let me explain it to you once more.
I know. You borrowed $400 from Mr. Shoemaker.
And I couldn't pay it back the first of the month as I was supposed to. So Mr. Shoemaker went to court, got a paper from the judge. The paper gives him the right to take away all our dogs, if he can find us.
Seems worth more than $400. Lori's worth more than $400 herself. She's the smartest wheeled dog in the Yukon.
Yes, I think so, too. That's why we're going to Wilderness Landing. We'll stay there for a month till Lori has her puppies. I'll be able to sell each of them for $100. We'll pay off Mr. Shoemaker and have money to spare. Isn't fair that he should get a team that's worth over $2,000... for a $400 debt?
No. It's too bad we had to run away just when we were starting to make money with your freighting business.
Well, we have enough supplies to last us for over 2 months.
Randy.
What?
Looks to me like Ben and Matt are having a fight.
Hey, let's see.
Aren't they?
Well, yes. Hey.
One of them fell.
Ben knocked Matt down, hit him over the head with the barrel of his gun.
What do we do?
There's nothing we can do. I have no gun. Ben's moving something from one sled to another. Canvas bags.
You're stealing Matt's gun?
Yes. Gee, Mike! Gee, Lori!
What are you doing?
Taking cover in that patch of woods. Ben hasn't seen us yet. Let's hope he doesn't. Mush on! Come on! Get up!
2 days later, Lige Walker entered Northwest Mounted Police Headquarters in Dawson. Sergeant Preston rose to greet him.
Oh, Lige. Glad you decided to come back.
You have a writ of attachment to serve on me?
John Shoemaker gave us one.
Well, the team's outside. It's yours.
Not at all. It's yours.
What? Eh?
And if you'll sign this paper, I have $50 that also belongs to you.
$50? A paper? Let me see here. I, Elijah Walker, agree
to... It's an agreement to sell the Northwest Mounted Police three of Laurie's puppies at $150 apiece. We're placing our order in advance.
And you're paying in advance?
Thank the inspector, Elijah. That was his idea. He's paid off Shoemaker, and here's $50 for you.
Sergeant, I don't know what to say.
Well, don't say anything. Just sign the agreement.
Sure. But it's like loaning me money. Can the Northwest Mounted do such a thing?
No.
Well, then why...
Confidentially, the inspector used his own money, but he'll be reimbursed as soon as we receive the puppy.
Well, where is he? I must thank him.
He's gone to 40 Mile. You'll have to wait until he returns.
I can start hauling freight again.
Of course.
I'm sure glad I came back. But it wasn't to let Shoemaker attach my team, Sergeant. I had to come back. I'm here to report a murder.
A murder?
Bucky and I saw it. Ben Pierce killed Matt Johnson. Bucky and I stopped on the rim of a valley in the Wishbone Range.
Lige told the sergeant about seeing Ben knock Matt down and then take the gold from Matt's sled.
Afterwards, Ben drove his sled up the hill behind Matt's camp. Bucky and I figured we'd wait till he topped the hill before we started for Matt. But Ben stopped halfway up the hill. Through the binoculars, it looked as if he was burying something. He was. It was a charge of blasting powder. He set it off, and the explosion started an avalanche. Matt was lying at the foot of the hill unconscious. His dogs were chained. The avalanche buried all of them. I could see Ben laughing. Then he drove over the hill and out of sight. We got to Matt as fast as we could. We tried to dig him out. Not that there was any chance of his still being alive, but, well, we tried. It was too much for us. He's still there, buried under tons of snow and rock and dirt.
We'll send out men to recover the body. Did you follow Ben at all?
Only to the top of the hill. His sled tracks were heading northwest.
That would be in the direction of 40 Mile.
Yes, but I wasn't sure there'd be a police officer there. So we came straight back here.
I'll have a warrant sworn out for Ben at once.
You're going after him yourself?
Yes, Lige. From what you told me, it shouldn't be difficult to find him. He probably has no idea there were witnesses to the murder. Your testimony will send him to the gallows.
Matt Johnson's body was brought to Dawson, and Sergeant Preston found Ben Pierce in 40 Mile spending his stolen gold. In Dawson, after a preliminary examination, he was charged with first-degree murder and placed in jail. The date for his trial was set. It seemed a certainty that he would pay for his brutal crime with his life. But then one night a fire broke out in the business section of Dawson, not far from the Northwest Mounted Police headquarters. The town's buildings were all made of wood. There was no adequate firefighting equipment, and any fire could become a disaster. Every able-bodied citizen turned out to fight this one. Only the turnkey was left at headquarters to guard the jail, and he stepped out into the street to watch the progress of the fire. Mel Shepard, one of Ben Pierce's few friends, saw him and saw an opportunity. There was no one else around headquarters. Mel picked up a rock. The turnkey's back was toward him. He sneaked up behind the jailer and brought the rock down hard on his head. Quickly, Mel dragged the turnkey inside. There, he bound and gagged him and took his keys. He had visited Ben and knew the location of his cell. Ben was the only prisoner in that block. When Mel reached the door of his cell...
Mel!
Yeah. I've got the jailer's keys.
Well, open the door and get me out of here.
Not so fast. You told me you'd hid $10,000 of Matt's gold before the sergeant caught up with you.
That's right.
I want half of it.
Well, okay, but open the door.
Well, where is it?
I'll take you there.
Tell me where it is now.
There's a ghost town beyond the Black Forest.
Yeah?
I stopped there overnight on the way to 40 Mile. I hid the gold in an old dance hall under the floor behind the bar. I'll take you there, Mel.
It's a deal. Yeah.
How did you manage this?
Oh, the Mounties are down the street fighting a fire. Come on. I knocked out the jailer. There he is.
All right. Better look outside. Make sure there's no one around.
Okay. Coast is clear. Come on.
Yeah, just a second. You have a dog team?
No.
Well, you should have.
I didn't have any time to plan this thing.
All right. I know where we can get one.
There's dogs around in back.
No. You take Lige Walker's team. He put me in jail. Taking his team will help to even the score between us.
Where does he live?
The edge of town.
But if he and that grandson of his are
there... I just hope they are. Oh, wait a minute. You have a gun, but I'll need one, too. Oh, yeah, maybe in that desk. Yeah, here's one. But it's empty.
A 38?
Yeah.
I have bullets. Come on.
I'll load it right here. Give me some.
Here.
Now, hurry it up.
I take it easy. Now, I'm ready for anybody. Especially Lige Walker.
Come on.
But Ben didn't meet Lige that night. Lige and Bucky were fighting the fire. Their cabin was dark.
Dogs in the run, get them harnessed.
What are you going to do?
Break into the cabin and pick up supplies. I'll not be long.
Mel had a difficult time with Lige's team, but he managed to harness them by the time Ben came out of the cabin with a sack of provisions. Only Laurie remained in the run.
Why didn't you harness the female?
She can't work.
We're not leaving the dog here.
Why not?
Because she's valuable. And sell her when we cross the border. Lige thinks almost as much of her as he does of his grandson. I'm not leaving her behind. Now get her and put her on the sled.
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. Golly, wonder why I'm yawning. I had plenty of sleep last night.
Oh, excuse me. Did I accidentally get some sand in your eyes?
Huh? Sand? Where did you come from?
From the land of Nod.
From the... What? Am I dreaming?
No. I'm the Sandman.
You are?
Yes. Worst luck.
You don't like your job?
The trouble is, I have to disappear every morning.
Oh, you mean when everybody else wakes up?
Yes. And I always miss out on breakfast.
Golly, you miss the most important meal of the day. And you miss the big treat of the day, too. A heaping bowl of swell-tasting Quaker-puffed wheat or Quaker-puffed rice topped with milk or cream and fruit.
That's what I mean.
But say, Mr. Sandman, why don't you have a bowl full last thing at night?
Why, that's a good idea.
Then you won't miss out on those choice king-size premium kernels that are shot from guns.
Did you say shot from guns?
Yes, they're actually exploded up to 8 times normal size to make them bigger and better tasting.
Sounds mighty good.
Oh, they are. And good for you. Wheat and rice shot from guns supply extra food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron.
I'll have a bowl full tonight.
There's a tip, Mr. Sandman, for the fellas and girls listening in. Morning, noon, or night, enjoy a bowl full of Quaker puffed wheat or Quaker puffed rice. The breakfast cereals shot from guns. Now to continue. It was several hours before the combined efforts of the townspeople brought the fire in the business section under control. And it was not until then the turnkey was found, bound and gagged, in the office of the jail.
Harry! Just a minute, I'll get the gag out of your mouth. Now the ropes. What happened?
I don't know. Stepped outside for a second to take a look at the fire. Something hit me.
Someone, you mean? When?
Midnight.
5 hours ago. The door to one of the cell blocks is open.
Yes, the one where we've been keeping Ben Pierce. My keys are gone.
Let's take a look.
All right. He's gone.
Here are your keys and the door.
You ought to lock me up, Sergeant.
This is the shirt Ben wore in court, isn't it?
Yes.
King can get the scent from it. Here, King. Here, boy. Fine, King. Fine.
Not knowing how long or how far he would have to travel, Sergeant Preston restrained King outside the jail and took him around to the dog runs. There, the sergeant harnessed his team, and King was given the word to pick up the trail.
Fine, boy. Fine. On, King! On, you husky!
King led the sergeant through the back streets of the town to Lige Walker's cabin and stopped at the empty run in the rear.
On, King! Follow your husky! Follow your...
Just then, Lige and Bucky came running out of the woods.
Sergeant! Sergeant, my team has been stolen.
And they took Laurie, too, Sergeant.
I don't have to tell you what this means to me. No more freighting. I'll never be able to repay the inspector.
I know, Lige.
But the sled tracks are easy to follow, Sergeant. You'll catch a crook just like you caught Ben Pierce.
It was Ben Pierce who took your team.
But he's in jail.
He escaped shortly after midnight.
What?
King trailed him from headquarters here. We've been following the tracks of two men, so there's someone with him.
Probably the man who knocked the jailer out and unlocked Ben's cell.
Midnight. That means he has a 5-hour start.
I'm going to harness King. Here, boy. With him pulling, Ben will find it hard to hold his lead.
He'll find it hard to manage my team, too. Sergeant, may I come with you?
Ben's a killer, Lige. This is dangerous business. No reason why you should expose yourself.
I wouldn't have to. But if... when you do catch him, you'll need someone to drive my team back.
There's that to consider, of course. All right, get on the sled.
Thank you, Sergeant.
Please, Sergeant. Please bring Laurie home.
We'll do our best, Bucky.
All right, on King! On, you husky!
In the Yukon, at that time of year, the sun didn't rise until 10, and it set at 2. Ben and Mel reached the edge of the Black Forest just as a short day was beginning. Lori, huddled beneath a blanket, was determined to escape from these cruel strangers. She managed to get the rawhide leash that bound her to the crossbar in her mouth and began to chew on it. It parted at the same time that Ben decided he must have a rest.
Oh, how are you, Mutt? Oh,
about time you took a breather.
We're only stopping long enough to eat.
Suits me.
I'd get some firewood.
Right.
As the men moved away, Lori leaped from the sled and ran into the heavy cover of the forest. But Ben saw her and opened fire. A bullet nipped her flank. Still, she ran on and on. Not in the direction of home. That was too far away now. She must find some haven, some closer refuge, somewhere in the forest. And finally, she saw a small cave in a wooded bank. This would have to do. And with the last of her strength, she dragged herself inside. The sun completed its brief course in the southern sky. And dusk was settling over the forest when the sergeant and Lige reached the spot where Ben and Mel had eaten. King noticed the tracks Lori had made as she ran into the forest. But there was no question of stopping, for they were on the trail of a man, and the scent led on. Hour after hour, King kept the team moving at a steady, ground-devouring pace. As the moon rose, they neared the far edge of the forest. And then suddenly a man ran out of the trail directly ahead of them. A grizzled old prospector.
Hold up there!
Okay. How are you, husband? Hold on.
If I'm right, I thought I recognized that lead. That's King. You're Sergeant Preston. You remember me, Sergeant?
Why, yes. You're Ezra Lang, the mayor of the ghost towns just ahead.
Well, the name of the town is Langville. And it isn't right for you to call it a ghost town. I live there, don't I?
Of course you do, Ezra.
I own the whole kit and caboodle, all the buildings and the mine, don't I?
Did you say so, Ezra?
I say so. I've got trespassers, Sergeant.
Huh?
I want you to run them off my property.
Trespassers? Two men?
That's right. Crooks, I'll bet. They're tearing up the floor in my dance hall. Well, there's much good it'll do them. What they're looking for is gone.
What are they looking for?
Well, you see, one of these fellas was here before, about a month ago, and he hid a sack of gold dust underneath the floor in the dance hall. I watched him do it. Then when he left, I just moved his gold down to the mine office.
Ezra, the man who was here before, who's come back tonight, does he have a scar on his left cheek?
That's him.
Ben Pierce. He hid part of Matt's gold here on the way to 40 Mile.
Evidently, and he's come back to get it.
He's a crook, eh?
He's a killer. And the gold he hid was stolen from the man he murdered.
Well, I don't want any part of it. You'll find it in the mine office under a pile of burlap bags. All I ask is that you get rid of those trespassers.
They have a dog team?
Sure. It's out in front of the dance hall.
Is there any way of getting into the dance hall without being seen?
Well, there's a way I got out.
Where's that?
The cellar door in the rear of the building.
Will you lead me to it?
That'll be a pleasure. If you promise...
I promise your trespassers will be arrested. Let's go.
Ezra led the way down into the cellar of the dance hall, and then pointed out a flight of stairs up to the first floor. The trapdoor at the top was open.
Will you listen to them tearing up my property? Just walk up those stairs and you'll catch them red-handed.
What's at the top of the stairs?
When you get up there, you'll find yourself behind the bar. That's where they are. All you'll have to do is stick a gun in the face.
Good enough.
At the top of the stairs, the sergeant stopped a moment to check his gun.
I need some more light. Bring that lantern over here.
Sure, right away.
He could gauge Ben and Mel's location by their voices. And he took the last steps in a run.
Up with your hands.
If
Bernie.
Instead of obeying the sergeant's command, the two men went for their guns, and the sergeant was forced to shoot. His first bullet cracked Ben's forearm. His second knocked the gun from Mel's grasp. Ben dropped his gun as he clutched his arm. The sergeant stepped forward to pick up the revolvers, and the capture was completed.
What's your name?
Mel Shepard.
You're under arrest in the name of the Crown.
What's the charge?
You helped this man escape, and now you're going back to jail with him.
When the sergeant's team had been brought into the town, Lige was overjoyed to see his dogs, but saddened almost at once when he heard that Laurie had run away.
Into the forest, Sergeant. I'll never find her.
There's a chance, Lige. We know where she made her escape, and we'll have a look on our way back. Now that Ben's arm's been bandaged and we have the gold he hid here, there's no reason why we shouldn't get started.
In Laurie's cave, miles away, six tiny bundles of gray and white fur huddled close to their mother. Laurie gave them all the protection she could from the cold and watched the entrance of the cave anxiously. A pack of ravenous wolves were ranging through the forest, and she could hear their howls closer and closer. Every moment she kept her vigil, hoping desperately the pack wouldn't find her hiding place, but ready to protect her young to the death. It was several hours later when the sergeant and Lige reached the spot where Laurie had run away.
Halting! How are you, Husky? Hold on!
Hey, there are her tracks.
Yes, King and I'll follow them. You'd better stay here and hold a gun on our prisoner.
Whatever you say, Sergeant. I realize it would be rough going through that underbrush for me.
You'd better stay here.
Listen, those are wolves.
Yes. Just a moment, I'll have you unharnessed, King.
Hungry wolves. If the puppies have been born and the wolves catch the scent of...
Hold the fort, Lige. Go, King. There's the trail. Follow it, boy.
King needed no urging. He plunged into the forest with the sergeant at his heels. And in spite of the underbrush and the deep snow, they ran at top speed. In the cave, Laurie stood up and moved away from her tiny, helpless brood. The wolves were so close that they must catch her scent, and she stood ready to block the entrance of the cave. Now she could see them, at least 20 gray shadows drifting toward the trees through her. The time for battle had come. She braced herself to meet the charge of the gaunt and savage leader of the pack. The wolf's gleaming teeth slashed at her. She avoided the thrust without giving any ground and slashed back. But the leader charged again, and his teeth sank deep into her shoulder. Laurie found it impossible to wrench herself free. And then she heard a new sound. The barking of a dog, who forced his way through the wolf pack to her side and threw himself at the leader. The leader broke his hold on Laurie and turned to meet his new foe. Then Laurie caught the scent of a man. She saw the man shooting into the pack, and suddenly the whole tide of the battle had changed. The man with the gun was too much for the wolves. The savage leader had had experience with men and guns before. He broke off his fight with the great dog in front of the cave and turned and ran. And all the members of the pack who were still alive followed him. Laurie sank to the ground, trembling, while the great dog tried to encourage her. The man who had fired the shots knelt in front of the cave.
It's all right now, Laurie. Your babies are safe. But we can't let them stay here. Question is how to carry them back to the trail. Oh, my parka, King, that's it.
Laurie watched the man spread his coat on the ground, but she couldn't help growling when he reached past her and picked up one of the puppies.
Now, Laurie, you know I wouldn't hurt your puppies, girl.
Somehow, Laurie understood, and she allowed the sergeant to place each member of her precious brood in the warm nest he had made of his parka.
There you are, little fellow. Easy now.
When he picked it up, she was content to follow him with King. When Lige saw the sergeant, he called out to him.
Sergeant, what's the matter?
Nothing's the matter.
Why aren't you wearing your parka?
Because there are others who need it more than I do.
What? Laurie, you found Laurie. Laurie, old girl.
Laurie isn't all we found, Lige. Don't you want to look at what I have here?
Put on that parka.
Look.
Why, six of them.
Yes, and they're all beauties. Now, don't forget that three of them are going to be policemen.
Well, the Northwest Mounted should have the whole litter.
The inspector will be well pleased with three. As pleased as he'll be to see Ben Pierce back in jail.
There may be other fires in Dawson, Sergeant. Another jailbreak.
True, Ben. There may be other fires. But neither you nor Shepard will be around to see them. It'll not be long before your case is closed.
Sergeant Preston will return in just a moment with a word about our next exciting adventure. Wake up, fellas and girls.
Yes, everybody in the family, wake up to a breakfast treat that can't be beat.
Quaker puffed rice or Quaker puffed wheat.
They're the ones shot from guns.
They're crisp, tender, full of tempting nut-like flavor because they're exploded up to 8 times normal size.
Just top with milk or cream and your favorite fruit for a delightful breakfast treat that really wakes up appetite.
And say, as Mother knows, some of the family like their cereal not so sweet, some like it ever so sweet.
Well, that's the beauty of Quaker puffed rice and Quaker puffed wheat.
They're the good natural grains with a toasty nut-like flavor and sun-ripened goodness that old Mother Nature puts into them.
They're never coated with factory sweetening. Your family can sweeten them with sugar just the way they like them.
So for an appetite waker-upper every morning, eat the one shot from guns. Delicious, nourishing Quaker puffed rice or Quaker puffed wheat.
Get the big red and blue packages at your store tomorrow.
And notice how the sealed inner lining keeps Quaker puffed rice and wheat as crisp as can be. And say, fellas and girls, I thought I could give you a hint about the big surprise that's coming. But it's a tight secret. I can't breathe a word about it until Tuesday. And then you're going to get in on a terrific offer. Talk about excitement, straight out of the great Northwest. Be sure to listen Tuesday. Glue your ear to the radio for this program next Tuesday. And now, here is Sergeant Preston.
Sergeant Preston reporting for duty, Inspector.
Sergeant, you may recall a scientific expedition that started out from here some months ago. It was heading into Indian territory with the purpose of photographing totem poles and investigating the legend of a buried treasure.
Yes, I remember, sir. I believe one of the professors had an old journal that referred to the treasure.
Yes. Well, the expedition should have returned by now. Any number of things may have happened to it. Trouble with the Indians, trail robbers. Frankly, I'm worried. Sergeant, I want you to find the party and bring it in.
I'll do my best, sir. I'll start at once.
The old journal that referred to the buried treasure did not mention the curse which the Indians believe hangs over the gold. University party has violated a strong taboo in searching for it, and now must face both hostile Indians and a band of outlaws who are ready to kill for gold. Don't miss this next exciting adventure. These radio dramas, a feature of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Muir Incorporated, directed by Fred Flowerday, and supervised by Charles D. Livingston. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon is brought to you every Tuesday and Thursday at the same time by Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns. Only Quaker Pak-O-Ten has wheat and rice shot from guns. That's Quaker Pak-O-Ten, a regular cereal pantry. 6 different delicious ready-to-serve cereals. 10 crisp, fresh individual servings. At breakfast, you can take your pick of the pack. Have your own separate individual package. Enjoy a different cereal, extra fresh every morning. Just remember, only Quaker Pak-O-Ten has all your family's cereal favorites. Try Quaker Pak-O-Ten. You'll be glad you did. This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health from Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. So long. Listen tomorrow at this same time to The Green Hornet, brought to you by the drink that makes you feel fresh again, Delicious Orange Crush. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.